new life, and I think it's a guess it's still a holiday weekend, is it not? I don't know. It's a holiday weekend, I guess. I listened to Phil's message. You know, me and Carla and family was in Missouri last week, so I listened to it, and I thought, well, Phil's preaching the Thanksgiving message, so I can bypass that. I don't like to be capped and cornered in a holiday theme. Sometimes it's like, oh. But so we left last week, but back this week, and then Phil and Ashley decide they're leaving. So, but I always say it is good to be in the house of the Lord because it is always good to be in the house of the Lord. And you're going to find me in the house of the Lord because that's where I want to be. And that's where I need to be. You should be the same. You should be the place where I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to worship. I want to find my place to serve. I want to lift up my hands. I want to praise the name of the Lord. That's where we should be. But this isn't what a lot of our church does. Our church chooses many times to come once a month, once every 6 weeks, which is nationally becoming known as the average. Now members of churches are now becoming, this is what's normal. The average member now is showing up, and maybe one to, it would be a good thing if they could show up twice a month. This is not something that is new. This is something that's been going on. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Hosea today. And we're going to talk about a little bit. I want to share with you, there's a lot to cover, so I haven't been in this area for a long time, so I'm going to hit it up today. So the warning, the cost, and the consequences of sin and falling away from God. If you're not careful, you'll fall away from God. It's in the book of Hosea. Yep. All right. But if you're not careful, you're going to fall in the ways of the world. And you're going to fall in the ways of many Christians who have fallen in the ways of the world, and you're going to drift away from God. And I want to tell you something. If you've ever drifted away from God, it's not a good place to be. Drifting away from God is not a good place to be, and God wants to warn his people, but they're in trouble. They've already drifted away from God. They're in trouble. Speak to Hosea, and he tells them, I want you to go out and get, a wild wife. Once you go out and marry her, she's going to have some children by some other men. Your family's going to be pretty much a mess. And then you're going to come back, and then you're going to buy her back. And you're going to love her. You're going to buy her back. And you're going to love her, even though she's not faithful. And you're going to buy her back. And there's a whole lot in there. I'm skipping a lot today because I want to stay on some focal points today. I want to start in chapter 4 of Hosea today. We're going to skim through a lot, but I think you'll get the gist of what we're trying to get through today, which is I just want to remind you that when you start walking away from the Lord, you're walking away from everything. Verse 1, it says, hear the word of the Lord, people of Israel, from the Lord has a case, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, no faithful love, and no knowledge of God in the land. God's calling it out for what it is. We can hide, we can try to hide what we want to hide, but everything is revealed before God. There is a cost to the believer when he chooses to live in sin. When the believer chooses to live in sin, you see, the world is separated from God because of sin. But when the Christian chooses to live in sin, it's different than the world that's lost and lives in sin. The Christian should know better because they do know better. They were brought up and taught the ways of the Lord. But God says there's no truth, there's no faithful love, no knowledge of God in the land. But verse 4 says, but let no one dispute, let no one argue, for my case is against you priests. So we're going to start there, against the priest. And in today's age, we can say against the preachers. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you let speak into your life when it comes to the Word of God. Not everyone is speaking truth. It is not about getting all the stuff that you can get from the world and what God wants to give you now and all this stuff. I think we need to listen to the Scriptures more than we need to listen to men. Jesus says, let your light shine before men. But he has a case against the priests because they're not doing what they're called to do. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I will reject you from serving as my priests. God is getting ready to clean house. God is going to clean house. I wonder what it would look like, God cleaned house in America. I don't worship the flag. I served 5 years. I can tell you what it's like to serve in the military. And a lot of it was hard. And I don't regret it. I think it was a great part of my growing up as a man. A great responsibility to serve the country. It was great. But it has nothing compared to my relationship with Jesus Christ. I love the United States, but my true love is God. Because actually I belong, just like you, belong to another land. We're citizens and part of the family of God. But God has a case against the priests. For they have abandoned their devotion to the Lord. Wine and new wine take away one's understanding. Verse 14, in the end, for the men themselves will go off to prostitutes and make sacrifices with cult prostitutes. People without discernment are doomed. They're just completely in a mess. Let me just take a moment here. I want to share. There's a cost when a believer chooses to live in sin. They're choosing to do this. Just like today. There are reasons why people are not in the house of God today. Ill, vacation, those kind of things. But some people just choose to stay away from the house of God. God's not looking for the sinners to be in the house of God, although God touches the hearts and draws them in. God wants, first of all, his children to be in the house of God. Amen to that? Amen. But I want to tell you this, there's a cost when a believer chooses to live in sin. First of all, he is spiritually broken. He or she becomes spiritually broken when you choose to live in sin. You become miserable. You may smile, but your smile is fake and you're truly an unhappy person. You have no joy in the Lord. You've lost your joy in the Lord. Number 4, sin takes a man deep into places he never thought he would ever go. And 5, he knows the change of sin. And he can feel the sin, the sounds of it and the weight of it. It consumes him. Number 6, he wants to pray, but he can't find it in him to do so. He knows the way. 7, he knows the way of healing, but he still chooses not to. Because the sin has a grasp on him or upon her. Only by the Holy Spirit can we begin to bring that walk back to the Lord. But it must be a heart of repentance. It must be with a broken heart. But the people of Israel have not chosen to do that. But although they make a way in trying to do it, but they don't do it with their heart. They do it with their feet and with words that fall flat upon them. And we'll see that. Their actions do not allow them to return to their God in chapter 5. For a spirit desire to want to, but they don't. You cannot come back to God when you drifted away. You cannot come back to God if you don't come back with repentance. Matthew tells us that we cannot serve two masters. We'll despise one and we'll love the other. But it's in chapter 6 is where I want to spend a little time to share with you what does repentance look like and the desire that God has for us. You see, I want to remind you and let you know that if you didn't know, that this whole COVID thing, the whole thing that happened in 2020. It's more than a physical thing. I am not a prophet, but this is more than a physical thing. Fear came across our country like no other. Fear. Fear what I'm going to lose. Fear of what's going to happen. But there's really no fear of the Lord. There were many preachers getting up, prophesying a lot about what was going on, what's going to happen. I can't find a one of them that was right on. Because the prophesying wasn't as important as what we needed to do was repent. Because we've been given so many scriptures and so much in God's word about what happens when a nation, when people forget who God is. Everything goes south. Listen, if your way was working so well, then why you still got the problems you have? Because you can't fix your own problems without God. You can't. You cannot fix your own problems without God. This country cannot fix its problems without God. We're trying to, but we're not going to. Without God. Because you can't. We live in a broken, sinful world where the prince of the air is Satan himself, trying to do a work and doing a work. He's doing it because he wants to get back at God. He's doing it and he works through people. We are in the middle of this. And we need to get our spiritual eyes open. He says, come, let us return to the Lord. That is the first thing that a person living in sin needs to do. Return to the Lord. There's a process in it. I want to tell you, God wants you to know him. God wants you, listen, there is a difference, and God wants both these things. He wants you to know about him, and he wants you to know him. A lot of people know about God, but they don't know God. A lot of people know things about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. You can be educated on knowing who, you can be educated the word, but you need to have a relationship. You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So God just doesn't want you to know about him and his Son and the Holy Spirit. He wants you to know them intimately. It's not enough just to know about the Lord. You need to know him personally. And I believe nobody wants you to make it in this world more than God himself. But he will let you know it's not all about you. God wants his people to do it right. Verse 3 says, let us strive to know the Lord. Know the Lord. We need to know the Lord. And when you, the closer you draw to the Lord, the more your sins come up. I hate talking about it sometimes, but we have to. But the more, if you have sin in your life, you have to, the closer you get to Christ, this is why people run, because the closer you get to the Lord, the more intimate you get, the more you start to draw to the Lord, your sins begin to pop up, because God is holy. And that has to be dealt with. And here's what the Lord says. Here it is. Verse 4. What am I going to do with you, Ephraim? What am I going to do with you? What am I going to do with you, Judah? Your loyalty is like the morning's mist and like the early dew that vanishes. You say you love me a moment and then it just vanishes. You say you're loyal to me, but it's gone in moments. Your words go about 3 feet from your mouth. What is he saying? There's no heart. Your heart belongs to something else or someone else. America has done that. The heart belongs to something else. And I'll tell you what it is. It isn't the God of Baal. It isn't the God of ISIS. It isn't these. It is the false trinity of me, myself, and I. We have become our own. America's made its own. Be careful we don't worship an eagle. We need to be more like the people of Nineveh. When Jonah went into Nineveh and gave a great declaration and preached that God was going to overthrow, those people actually took heed to it. That generation, people of Nineveh, took heed to it. But what is God saying? He's saying here, it comes through, and he says in verse 6, he says, "For I desire loyalty." Some of you may say mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of the Lord rather than burnt offerings. He's saying, get your heart in gear. Put your heart out there. Open your heart. Some of the most egotistical, self-righteous individuals are preachers. They can go through the motions, and a lot of times people don't even see it because they're just so used to it because they're going through the motions as well. And so the whole church is going through a motion. The motions to do what they think is right. They'll do ritual one, ritual two. They'll do all these things. And if the crowd is big and the money comes in, we had a great service. But God says, I desire loyalty, not sacrifice. The knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Chapter 7, verse 2, like I said, we're spinning through this pretty quickly. But they never considered that I remember all their evil. Now their sins are all around them, and they're right in front of my face. You cannot outrun your sin. You cannot outrun what you're doing. When our sins get deep and grow root in our life, the deeper it gets, the more we step away from God. Sin draws us away from God. Repentance draws us to God. And we don't like the feeling of either one. But let me remind you, sins are in the right in front of the face of God, and that's what God wants to deal with. But Israel has a lot of corruption going on. It says in 7, verse 7, all of them are as hot as the oven, and they consume their rulers. All their kings fall. Not one of them calls on my name. What he's saying is there's not a leader. There's not a leader calling upon me. It's hard to find leaders in our own country to call upon the name of the Lord. And if they do, some of them are doing it just for votes. And you only hear it during election year. I would love to see a president. I'd love to see a governor or a congressman or a senator say, or even a mayor would say, hey, I'm calling the city to, I'm calling, and I'm hearing all these people who say they're believers. They are leaders. They can say, I want the city, I want the state, I want the country to come down to a 3-day fast. We're going to get on our knees before God. But they fear what others are going to do. What would happen if the country just did a 3-day fast? Or if the state would do a 3-day fast? Or if the city, leaders in the city would call a 3-day fast? Satan's intentions here is to keep you from having that great relationship with Christ. That's his whole thing, to keep people in sin, keep them separated, keep them away from God, and this grieves God. I just wonder, in Genesis chapter 6, what it was really like when the scripture says, and God grieved that he made man. What a moment for God to grieve that he made man, because man was so vile. Every thought in his mind was evil. Sin causes us to see really what's wrong and what's right. It causes us to live in the gray matter, to justify the wrongs that we do, yet judging what others do, because they're wrong, but I'm not. Sin causes you not to notice actually what the world you're doing. Sin is something we have to talk about from time to time because we sin. He says, foreigners consume his strength, but he does not notice. Even his hair is streaked with gray, but he does not notice. When we live in his sin, we don't even notice what's happening around us. Israel's ignorance, arrogance testifies against them, yet they do not return to Yahweh their God. And for all this, they do not seek him. Well, I want to be thankful for the Holy Spirit today, that because when we do sin, the Holy Spirit prods us and tells us something's wrong. Something's wrong in my life. The Holy Spirit convicts and says something is off. And you know, and he reveals to you what's off. And then we ask for forgiveness of that, and we know that Christ forgives us, and we're off on our way. But when we refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Chapter 8, they try to do their own thing. Verse 4, they have installed kings, but not through me. They have appointed leaders, but without my approval. Wouldn't it be amazing if people with actual leaders would actually pray for decisions like we should in our own families? We're going to buy a house. We should pray about the house. Amen. We should ask God, say, Lord, what do you want? What should I do this? Should we do this? This is going to cost this. This is going to cost that. Lord, what is it? I think we should involve God when we buy houses. I think we should involve God when we do certain things that are, I don't think we need to ask God, Lord, I want a hot dog or I want a hamburger. But I think we need to ask God, even things when we purchase cars and when we purchase houses, when we make job choices, even sometimes how we discipline our children, let God be a part of all of that. They have false hopes. They do it without God's approval. Because once again, when we're in sin, the blinders come on. When we begin living in sin, the blinds start coming on, and we don't want to see the light. We don't want to draw to that. We get in that shade, and we start living in there, and we start making bad decisions and bad choices, and then we get into a place where like I'm in the muck, I'm in the murk, I can't get out. Let me tell you what sin does. Sin steals our smile. Sin shrinks your joy. Sin confuses your purpose in this world. Sin derails your walk. Sin destroys your testimony. And the only way you get that back is by repenting, and God gives you a testimony and he turns it around. Sin hardens your heart toward others, toward your brothers and sisters in Christ, and it hardens your heart toward the church. Sin blinds your eyes. You cannot see truth anymore. Sin weakens your worship. In and sin pulls down your praise. What sin does. Because I will tell you this, there's nothing more gratifying than praising God, but when you're in sin, you cannot praise God. And you know it. You've tried it. And it doesn't work. It's just you can't. It pulls down. It keeps you. That's the chains of sin. And God says, I'm going to discipline. Chapter 10, verse 10, I will discipline them at my discretion. I want to stop there for a moment. At my discretion. God says, at my discretion, I'm in charge here, not you. You may make some choices and decisions, but I'm in charge now. This is my world. You're my creation. I'm the creator. You're off track. I've seen it all. There's no getting around it. God's in control. And when you begin to understand that God is really in control, you're going to think a little bit more on your choices and your decisions. If you've been disciplined by the Lord, you're going to know that when the Lord disciplines, you're going to know when it's from Him. I know what that's like. He says this, I want you to sow righteousness for yourselves and reap faithful love. Break up your unplowed ground. That's what sin does. It hardens you. Break up that unplowed ground. It is time to seek the Lord. It's time. It's time to seek the Lord. Let me just tell you in what it means in my language. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. The venture in sin land is over. Daddy's saying it's time to come home. And if you as believers know what that, you know what that means. You know what it means if, as a believer, when I say it's time to come home, you know exactly what that means. I need to get my heart right with God. I need to come home to my Lord. Let me ask you this. Has anybody ever been on their knees before God, actually crawling back to God? I have. I got on all fours weeping before God. Let me tell you, sin is real. Repentance has to be real. And when repentance is real, forgiveness is real. But if you want to play the game and say, oh, I've done this, I've done that, I've been out doing this and been doing that, Lord, forgive me my sins, I'm good to go. You fooling yourself. Because your sins will be heavy on your heart and you're going to know you got to plead it out. You're just going to fall apart before the Lord because it's the sin. And that's the Lord working on you, and His great love is putting His arms around you when you know you don't deserve it, but He puts His forgiving arms around you and it just melts you and it breaks you down. And you lose all that junk. It's just coming off of you. And the Lord is just almost like He's just cleaning you up with His loving hands. I want to tell you there's nothing more gratifying knowing He is there. He'll clean you up no matter how messy you are and how dirty you are. He can clean you up. But He says, you have plowed wickedness and reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruits of lies because you have trusted in your own way. He tells them how to get it right. Break up the unplowed ground. It's time to seek the Lord until He comes and sends righteousness on you like the rain, but you have plowed wickedness. You did it your way. Sin never blesses. Did you know that? Sin never blesses. Sin reaps bad things. Sin reaps consequences. Christian knows the weight of his sin. So many times we know what's right, yet we still choose wrong. But there is hope. There is hope. While you're breathing, there is hope. There is nothing so powerful than the Lord's love. But without the Lord's love, there is no hope. How many of you ever been in a moment in your life, one of those crucial crossroad moments in your life, in your marriage, in your family, that you knew that if God wasn't there, you would not have made it. Your life would be different today. But Israel's still stuck on sinning. He says, my people are bent on turning from me. Though they call on to him on high, he will not exalt them at all. Because this is the fake smile. This is the fake worship. It looks like it on the outside, but it's not on the inside. God is looking on the inside. What does your heart speak? What is your heart pumping? How can I forgive Ephraim? How can I surrender you, Israel? Let me tell you how deep God's love is. He says, my people are bent. They just won't listen. How can I give up you, Ephraim? How can I surrender you, Israel? How can I make you like Adamah? How can I treat you like Zebon? I've had a change of heart. My compassion is stirred. God's compassion is stirred even when the people, when you and I are living in sin. His compassion is stirred. Because God's love is real. This is where God's mercy comes from. God's heart is always for man to repent and turn to him. That's always what he's doing. And his mercy is there. And you don't receive the full fury of God's anger. He says, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in rage. There's a difference when God comes in anger than God comes in rage. God continues. And the story is they're going to go in captivity. But we see in chapter 13, we see something where it looks like it's all falling apart. And there's a call at the end of this book for you and I, that it's not just for the people here, but it's an everlasting call. Here's what he says. He says in chapter 13, verse 4, I have been Yahweh, your God. I have been your God. Let me tell you, let me ask you this. Has Jesus been your Savior? Has God been your God? Has the Holy Spirit been your counselor? He says, I have been Yahweh, your God, ever since the land of Egypt. Ever since the day you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, he's been your God. Now, he's always been God, but now he's been your God. Not just the God that created everything, not just the God that created the stars, the moon, the earth, and people. But when you receive Christ, he's become your God. So I have been Yahweh, your God, ever since the land of Egypt, since the day you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into you. You know no God but me. Is it not true? Since I've come to Christ, since you've come to Christ, you know no other God but Jesus Christ. Amen. And no Savior exists except me. And what is he telling us? When everything is said and done, everything it is, whatever you're doing, whatever life is going on, whatever it is, God is still God. And there was a relationship that started when you come to Christ, and that relationship, and God's taken his relationship seriously with you. And you need to take it seriously with him. And there is no God but him. And there is no Savior but him. So we need to live as he is the only one, with a heart that has a love for God. We can never love God like God loves us. But we are called to love him with everything that we've got. These people were in a mess. They chose to choose sin. And when you choose sin, you choose to walk away from God. Because sin, you can't serve two masters. Jesus said that. You'll love one, but you'll despise the other. And when we choose sin, we're almost to the point where we're pushing God away, despising him because we love what we want to do. I'm having a hard time finding a church where the house is full that preaches the Word of God. You can fill them up when you want to talk about you get everything. And I'm talking about churches that preach the full gospel. Not perfect churches, just preach the gospel. It's hard to find a church that's filling up. You see what happened when we closed churches just for a short time? People drifted. People drifted. It was a mask or it was a no mask. People left because they didn't want to wear a mask. Or people left because they wanted to wear a mask. And the church didn't choose to wear a mask. Let me tell you, it really wasn't those reasons. It was this. Their hearts may have been connected more with the fellowship, more with something, but not him. Well, I can do church at home. This is why you'll find those in China where it's illegal to meet together unless you go to the government church. This is why they still risk their lives to meet three or four at a time. In some little remote spot, they'll meet through secret communication. And they'll cry together for all the things that each one saw, sharing their testimony, share the Word of God. And they'll spend hours together. And maybe a 3-watt light bulb. One will leave at different times, so nobody will notice anything. Not like us, all out at once, trying to get wherever we want to go, but one at a time. Because they can't be caught. But what one of them said was, we have to meet. It's where I'm encouraged and strengthened. It's where I don't feel like I'm the only one. And we cry and we share our stories of the brokenness, but then we praise God at a very soft level and we worship God. And then we leave one at a time. Here, our doors are open, and people choose not to come. Choose not to come. Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I'm going to end with this. Hosea was told to go marry this woman. Her name was Gomer. And in chapter 3, it ends, this is the piece. Then the Lord said to me, go again and show love to a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Just as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and 5 bushels of barley. I said to her, you must live with me many days. Don't be promiscuous or belong to any man, and I will act the same way toward you. Is your heart drawn to something else and someone else besides God? Is there something in your life that you need to deal with between you and God? That is the wall that keeps you from having a blessed life, keeps you from having the walk that God wants you to have. I think before a nation gets right, people, individuals have to get right. God's house has to get right. I don't know your heart, but God does. Scripture just said it was right in front of his face. I don't want God seeing my sin right in front of his face. I hope you say that in your own life and your walk with God, that the church isn't going to be empty because of me. If there's a call to worship, I'm not going to find myself absent. Because when you're absent from the worship, you're present in someplace else. You're saying that is more important. Believe me, I understand sick and I understand vacation. I get those things. But when you're saying, well, God's going to be with me over here because it's a football game or because of travel ball. You all don't understand travel ball, but I'm telling you, travel ball is ripping the American churches apart. The families of four, travel ball. I got Pastor Pierce telling me about it all the time. I don't get it, but I understand it because they told me so much. It's all on Sunday. Takes people out of church for 4 or 5 months. And then the pastor says, then I don't see them. But once a month. Because if your attendance starts out with every other week, it'll end up being once a month. And then it'll be once every 6 weeks, once every 2 months. And then you'll be known as those people who are barely on the membership roll because the Constitution says you have to attend at least 2 services a year. You are responsible for yourself. If you have a family, you're responsible for your family. Make sure you're doing your just cause and being loyal to God. Amen?